From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, as he continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Genesis 24 and verse 63. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. Very admirable was his occupation. If those who spend so many hours in idle company, light reading, and useless pastimes could learn wisdom, they would find more profitable society and more interesting engagements in meditation than in the vanities which now have such charms for them. We should all know more, live nearer to God, and grow in grace if we were more alone. Meditation chews the cud and extracts the real nutriment from the mental food gathered elsewhere. When Jesus is the theme, meditation is sweet indeed. Isaac found Rebecca while engaged in private musings. Many others have found their best beloved there. Very admirable was the choice of place. In the field, we have a study hung round with texts for thought, from the cedar to the hyssop, from the soaring eagle down to the chirping grasshopper, from the blue expanse of heaven to a drop of dew. All things are full of teaching. And when the eye is divinely opened, that teaching flashes upon the mind far more vividly than from written books. Our little rooms are neither so healthy, so suggestive, so agreeable, or so inspiring as the fields. Let us count nothing common or unclean, but feel that all created things point to their Maker, and the field will at once be hallowed. Very admirable was the season of sunset, as it draws a veil over the day, befits that repose of the soul when earthborn cares yield to the joys of heavenly communion. The glory of the setting sun excites our wonder, and the solemnity of approaching night awakens our awe. If the business of this day will permit it, it will be well, beloved, if you can spare an hour to walk in the field at eventide. But if not, the Lord is in the town, too, and will meet with you in your chamber or in the crowded street. Let your heart go forth to meet Him.
You scatter the stars with your mighty hand. You stirred up the sea. Blossom the sweetest rain, seek only to worship your worthy name. The mountains bow, the forests kneel, throughout creation your praises yield. A joyful song of nature sings, all glory to the King.
your name be glorified. The heavens ring with wonder and praise. Almighty God, your greatness be glorified. Above all else, your name be praised. You scented the flowers with your gentle hand. You painted the sunrise that colors the land. The whole creation's desire and intent, that grace to their Maker alone would be sent.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. The text for this message, Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, is found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, where Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The first thing Dr. Cairns stressed about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness of life. And failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Then this is a command to comprehensive holiness. Believers are to separate from sin in all its manifestations, both in their personal as well as in their public lives. Not only so, but they are to keep separate, not to return to worldly living. With God's command of sanctification also came glorious promises of the Lord's presence with his people, of the removal of every obstacle, and of protection from every danger. Finally, we see that in this passage, God revealed himself in his glorious power, a picture of the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now to conclude this message, Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, here is Dr. Cairns.
This is something that we as a church need to take ever so seriously. The realization of the promise of God's power, the reality of Pentecost. Do not be fooled by charismatic delusions. But on the other hand, do not, as so many Bible believers seem to have done, do not shy away from the mysterious doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with revival blessing, just because it has been counterfeited and brought into ill repute in a charismatic delusion. Let me tell you, if this Bible's true, and it is, there is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost in every generation. There is such a thing as an experience of God's power whereby the gospel is irresistible as it goes forth, and the meanest instruments are used to obtain the greatest results. I was reading just last night of the conversion of the great English hymn writer, Augustus Toplady. Toplady grew up in England hearing preaching, good preaching, strong preaching, Bible preaching, reform preaching, and he remained unconverted. He went on a journey over to Ireland. He went into a little village, a little hamlet, You wouldn't find it in the map. Irish people wouldn't even know its name. It's so small. It's so insignificant. He went into a meeting. It was like a barn meeting. And in that barn-like meeting, in that place that wasn't even a church or a chapel, he saw a man get up to preach. The man was so illiterate he could hardly read and write his own name. But he gave out the gospel that night. A poor, poor instrument indeed, but with the power of God. And the man who was unmoved by great scholarship and great theology and great preaching, great worship services, that man was mightily moved and gloriously saved by the power of the gospel. I want to tell you, my friend, God revealing Himself can take the meanest instrument. How was Spurgeon saved? Saved through the preaching of a man who could do no more than repeat the text and repeat it again and repeat it again and stumble for 10 minutes or so and grind to a halt. He was no preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but God used him to save the greatest preacher the English-speaking people have ever had. How many millions are in heaven through Spurgeon and his verbal preaching, the pastors that he trained, the books that he wrote, the sermons that he printed? How many millions are in heaven? Only eternity will tell. But never forget the poor illiterate practically, the poor useless case who had the power of God. Oh, that's the promise. Sanctify yourselves. And there is power. There is revival. There is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that you could understand this. Unless you've ever been in a place where God has come down in an unusual, unprecedented, unlooked for way. Unless you've ever been in a place where God has swept over all your conventions and has suddenly entered in with power and with grace. You know nothing of what I'm talking about. But oh man, you can know it. This church can know it. We must know it. Now let's wrap it all up. Sanctify yourselves, for this is God's promise. I'll do wonders among you. That brings me full circle. Obedience to God's call to holiness is a vital proof of our faith, our commitment, and our hope. You see, when you sanctify yourself, you're saying to heaven, earth, and hell, I believe the promise. When you sanctify yourself, you say, I'm taking God's word seriously, and God will take me seriously. Holiness. Holiness is the only real proof that you believe God at all. Now we can say, oh, we believe the promise. We can say, oh yes, I believe that God keeps His word. God will do this, God will do that, God will do 101 things. You can say that all you like, you fool nobody. So long as your life is not a life of holiness. Because if you really believe this, then you will sanctify yourselves. Obedience in Joshua's day was a testimony of commitment. What did it say? It declared, we have left the wilderness behind us. We've dwelt there long enough. We're committed to following the Lord fully. It was a testimony of desire, saying we yearn for the blessing of God more than our daily bread. We yearn for the blessing of God. We believe the promise of God. We expect the power of God. We sanctify ourselves. Because He has promised, I will do wonders among you. That's the testimony that you're seeking revival. Now let's be very, very simple here. And let's be very, very honest. Without personal holiness, we want revival like a hole in the head. If you read what Malachi says in describing revival, the coming of the Lord among His people in Malachi chapter 3, as He moves with refining fire and like a fuller's soap, you realize revival is very, very, very sore in hypocrisy and sore in the flesh. But if you desire revival, then you will come as these people did and say, "Yes, Lord, we sanctify ourselves." Notice how it's put, sanctify yourselves. Can we do that? Well, no, we can't make ourselves holy. But there are steps that are set forth in God's Word whereby He will cleanse us and make us holy. It's your duty to be holy. It's my duty to be holy. It's our personal responsibility to be holy. You might say, "Well, look, who am I? What do I count?" Well, who are you? Are you saved? Then you do count. Achan was soon to prove that his personal testimony was very important to the overall work of God. And we will prove the same thing. Now, this responsibility is great. It's urgent. Let us take care to discharge it. Most of all, let us get our eyes on Christ. Joshua said, "Sanctify yourselves." And what did he do? He set the ark before them. That ark is Christ. The Word of God says to you, "Be ye holy." What does it do? It sets Christ before you. And as you see Christ, and as you desire Christ, and as you love Christ, you will both desire and obtain the power to be holy. And when you have the power to be holy, you'll be in the place where you're ready for the demonstration of the power of God. And thus, by your holiness, you'll express your faith, your preparation for, your anticipation of the demonstration of the power of God. I pray God will burn this into our hearts. Sanctify yourselves. Enough fooling with the world. Enough toying with what you know is ungodly. It doesn't take you to be going out to get drunk or on drugs or anything that the world says is big sin. You know your heart, I know mine. There are things that we embrace that are antithetical to our testimony. They are things that are holding back the blessing of God in our lives. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will do wonders. May God let us see them as a holy and prepared people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this great promise. We confess, we do tremble at Thy word, because we need great grace to sanctify ourselves. But yet, Lord, we would ask for that grace. We would look unto Christ, who is our sanctification. And we would pray that for His sake, Thou wilt give us the power to turn away from self and sin, from everything that grieves Thy Spirit. Lord, especially take away the cold heart, the unbelieving spirit. Take away the mechanical attitude to the things of God, going through the motions. Lord, we pray, give us spiritual reality, warm hearts, devotional zeal, a love for Christ and a Christ-like love for the lost. Lord, we pray, put the sparkle of true communion with God in our lives. Turn the water of life's defeats into the wine of Christ's victory. And God, our Father, we pray that as Thou dost Enable us to be holy and fully follow the Lord. Do wonders speedily among us. There are many of us waiting to see families completed in Christ. What a wonder that would be. Many, O God, are waiting to see those for whom prayer has been made and to whom witness has been given, overwhelmed with the gospel of grace and gloriously saved. What a wonder that would be. Many of us, our God, are crying to Thee for a great revival, for the outpouring of Thy Spirit. Lord, what a wonder that would be. But as we were singing this morning, Thou art the great God of wonders, and we pray that Thou wilt do these things. Hear our prayer, and help us to live in anticipation of them by holiness unto the Lord. Part us with Thy blessing, keep us in Thy fear, and be our portion now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.